Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hudson.
Hello and welcome back from the weekend. Thanks for downloading today's podcast on Monday, August 10th. Coming up here from a Kent man who's won compensation following a parking dispute and reaction to Gillingham's first game of the season. But first, we're being warned to get ready for our fifth heatwave of the summer, with temperatures due to hit the mid-30s later this week. A yellow heat health alert is in force across the county and it'll be upgraded to amber tomorrow. It follows a weekend of wildfires and water issues as the dry weather continues. Crews were sent to tackle two blazes caused by out-of-control bonfires in Staplehurst and High Holden on Sunday. A huge area of land on the Isle of Grain was also impacted on Friday night. Chris Campbell lives nearby and witnessed the flames take hold.
As I was coming up from her, noticed the fire. Thought as I got nearer, it might have been the house that was on fire. So I went to the house to notify them, but the fire brigade was all there. And there was one person that was already having an oxygen mask, went over to see if he was all right, and then just helped move some bits and pieces away from his property and kept all the fire away from his property and just helped out as much as I can. And then one part of the house caught on fire. I let them know and they managed to put it out. It was going up really well, and to be honest, if they didn't cut it off from where it was, there's another field behind that that goes on for 3 miles and then goes right the way past the power station. There's all cows and people that walk across there. And that's his livelihood, because that's part of his corn. All that next field is all corn. Well done to all the fire brigade. They kept it away from the bloke's house and kept his machinery. The woman's horses and that were all good. And the rest of the animals were all good. So apart from all the smoke, I'm all right.
Pictures at Kent Online show damage caused by a separate fire which destroyed an acre of grassland at Moat Park in Maidstone. Residents in various parts of the county have also been hit with water supply issues over the last few days. More than 4,600 people were impacted in villages near Sittingbourne. South East Water's new chief exec, John Horsall, gave an update from a bottled water station.
I'm really sorry for the disruption that you are all suffering this weekend with this significant interruption to your water supply. The reason that we're in this situation is because we had some maintenance work, critical maintenance work, that we had planned for later on in the next few days. But the recent power failures that have occurred across the region have meant that we've had to bring forward that work to this moment. And as a result of it, we've had to close the water treatment works, and that's caused this interruption to your water supply. I am really sorry, and I absolutely assure you we're doing everything humanly possible to get the work done and get your water back on.
Homes and businesses in Tunbridge were also affected by another burst main on Shibben Road. Meanwhile, in areas around Headcorn, there were outages caused by low water supply levels. Sean Harrison is a local parish councillor and has told us about reports of bottled water being stolen from people's doorsteps.
I think it could be down, it's down to panic, or, you know, it's just not being very considerate to the rest of the residents. I think everybody finds it quite astonishing in this day and age that we're having water shortages in the UK. This prolonged spell of hot weather has been in the media for some time, and I think it's people are more frustrated at the lack of foresight from the water companies in general at not being able to have enough water to go round for our residents. It goes back to the water companies for not having the foresight to be able to plan for all of this. You know, we do live in such a wonderful area, but autumn is going to be very early this year because all the leaves are going to be coming off the trees, and then we'll have blocked drains. But one of the really big frustrating points is the lack of getting on top of the burst water pipes that are in the area. You know, we have residents that said that they have phoned up and complained about water just pouring out in the road, but then, you know, nothing gets done about it for 3-4 weeks, and that is continuing to lose water. So water companies aren't helping themselves by not repairing these quick enough. Appreciate it takes time to put these things in place, But, you know, come on, you can't be then stopping people's water into residents' homes if you've then got water spouting out on a road somewhere.
South East Water have said this morning that supplies have been restored to the majority of customers. It comes amid growing calls for water companies to have a legal say in new housing developments to make sure they can keep up with demand. Earlier this year, South East Water warned they could only supply one third of the near 20,000 homes planned in the Tunbridge and Malling area. Politicians from all different parties have joined forces to try and get the planning process changed. Kate's been chatting to Lib Dem councillor Anthony Hook, who's leader of the opposition at KCC.
In the southeast of England, which is the driest part of the UK, there is an issue with water supply and a long-term question about whether we've got enough natural water supply for the level of the population in London and the southeast. Now, at the moment, when builders apply for permission to build new houses, they have to go through a detailed planning process, and a number of organisations are what are called statutory consultees. That means they have to be consulted about the planning application. One of the statutory consultees is Kent County Council, and they're consulted about highways issues, and they will also express views on things like whether there's enough educational provision in the area where new housing is going to be built, whether there's other types of social infrastructure like that. What we're suggesting, and others have suggested too, is that water companies should become statutory consultees, so that the planning process should have to consult water companies on whether the infrastructure in that area is sufficient, whether they'll be able to supply good drinking water to new houses that are proposed to be built and provide sewerage infrastructure too. Now, at the moment, water companies could choose to do that voluntarily, but making them statutory consultees will give them a improved status in the planning process and would also really mean that they have to do that and have to express a view based on evidence as to whether the planning that's proposed, the housing development that's proposed, is compatible with the water supply in that area.
Is there a concern that it would act as an extra barrier to developments receiving approval? You know, at the moment, you know, we've got these house building targets that we need to meet. It's already difficult to find appropriate areas to build the large amount of housing that we do need to provide. Is there a concern that this would just be an extra roadblock to getting new houses built?
There's an intention that it would be a roadblock to getting inappropriate houses built. It's exactly that. It would provide an extra layer of protection against excessive house building in areas where there's insufficient water supply. That's exactly the point. And it may well and should stop housing being built in places where there isn't enough water supply or sewerage provision, or it would require the builders to set aside money under what's called a Section 106 agreement so that new infrastructure can be built and that they'll have to contribute to the cost of that. Or it will mean so that the housing development instead happening in places where there is plentiful supply of water.
Kent Online News.
A woman's been taken to hospital with serious injuries following a crash on the M20. The multi-vehicle collision happened on the coastbound stretch between Ashford and Hythe yesterday. Several other people suffered minor injuries. Families have been telling us they're worried there'll be more unacceptable deaths after their relatives were left without dignity by a crumbling NHS social care system. Kent Online was shown images of wounds attracting flies after being untreated for days, and people in care being left with dried blood across their bodies. Medway Community Healthcare and Medway NHS Foundation Trust had responsibility in these cases. Both say they're continuously making improvements across their services to ensure the best care is provided. Now, a Kent man's been awarded compensation after 2 years of being chased by debt collectors over a parking dispute. John Walters used the Foreman Centre car park in Headcorn to look around the shops with his wife back in 2023. He put his vehicle reg into the machine and paid 90p to park for an hour, but the ticket printed with only the last four digits of his registration. He then received a fine, which he appealed, and eventually ended up getting letters is from bailiffs. The 76-year-old was taken to court by Civil Enforcement Limited despite having proof of payment. A judge has dismissed their claim and ordered the company to pay compensation. John's been telling our reporter Ellie Hodgson why he decided to pursue the case.
A matter of principle, really. I was just annoyed that they were obviously seeking to effectively extort money from you when it was unfounded. And even at one point, when you sort of respond to them on the basis that you had put in your details and they say that it was a technical error, they reduced the charge to £20. And obviously a lot of people would then still pay the £20, but I was just basically felt that as a matter of principle, I wasn't prepared to pay it.
What is your reaction to the outcome?
Relief, really, I think, that it's reached a conclusion. But I think frustration that they're still allowed to carry on doing what they're doing. And that most people are not aware of their rights, really, and are intimidated by these parking companies into obviously making payments which are unwarranted.
What are your learnings or warnings or advice to other motorists, perhaps in a similar?
I think keep as much information as you can, basically. Evidence, parking tickets, and that sort of thing, so that you can actually defend yourself if you are subjected to a claim.
Civil Enforcement and Creative Car Park have both been approached for a comment. Elsewhere, residents near a new estate in Maidstone have accused the house builder of breaking a promise about parking. People living at Invicta Cottages on Farley Hill in Tovell previously used a lay-by on Dean Street, which is now included in Vistry's Millwright Place development. The Borough Council said replacement parking should be provided, but it's now emerged those places will be unallocated and operate on a first-come, first-served basis. Bosses at the construction company say residents of the cottage don't pay towards upkeep of the estate, so they can't guarantee them a space.
Kent Online reports.
A graffiti artist from Canterbury who stole a man's laptop from a pub has been banned from spray-painting his tag on public property. Oleg Solger took the bag while the victim was in the toilet. He also admitted shoplifting and criminal damage. The 30-year-old from London Road's been given a 12-month community order and will have to pay compensation. Head over to Kent Online today to see pictures of new homes that could replace a set of garages in Hythe. Developers say the site on Albert Lane is in a state of disrepair. Plans have been submitted to build 5 modern homes. And we're being urged to buy or make special glasses to look at the eclipse in Kent later this week. The sun will be partially blocked by the moon on Wednesday evening. You'll get the best view of it if you head to coastal areas or somewhere very high up.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham have lost their first game of the new season. They were beaten 3-0 by Luton Town in the opening round of the Carabao Cup. It means they've been knocked out of the competition. Jules manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to our sports reporter Matt Panting after the match.
Yeah, we were okay, but not at full tilt today. And I felt there was a little bit of pre-season still about us. I'm glad it's happened today against the Carabao Cup, because I think Luton are a super team. I think they'll be most teams in both bottom leagues, and I think they'll be in the Championship come 27-28. I really do believe that, because I thought they were very good at settling the ball. They had pace in their team. Their subs who came on strengthened them, if anything, you know. And we just were a little bit easy to score against. And I don't want that. We had to be more resilient, more tenacious, win every header, win every tackle, win everything. Like, you know, there's some decent performances in there, some real eye-openers. And we had a few senior debuts today as well, which was Logan Dobbs, you know, Zane Alvarez, Conor McManus, you know, they're all making senior football leaps, which is big for them. You know, Will Goodwin as well needs to get a run of games. And yeah, so I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm not too down. But I'll be going through the video and making sure that we're not too easy to score against, because a couple of the goals, the second goal, you know, quick free kick, you've got to stop that. And the corner as well, I don't want to get back into that set piece sort of conceding routine. So we'll make sure we're better on them. But yeah, we didn't create brilliantly against them, but I knew chances would be few and far between today, because they're such a good side, you know. And yeah, we probably had one of the toughest ties in the first round, but it's on to next week now in Walsall.
You mentioned the way you played and you felt he was a bit off it, but did you think that were there times where there was patterns of play or bits that you've done on the training ground that you could see?
Little bits, only very little, you know, and then I went to a 4-3-3 second half when we made all the changes, just to have a look at that, and you know, I thought we created a few more problems, but we were a little bit more open at the back as well, so chicken and egg situation there. But all in all, I've seen enough in pre-season to know we're going to be competitive this year. I just thought a couple of goals today were just too easy. We got carved apart in moments where there was a quick free kick. I think we could have stopped that, you know, and then another corner, which, again, I hate conceding from corners. So we'll get better at them. And a 1-0 would have been looked a lot better than a 3-0. But well done, Luton, you know, you're a good side.
And in cricket, Kent still have a chance of reaching the knockout stages of the One Day Cup. They beat group leaders Leicestershire Foxes at Beckenham yesterday. Captain Daniel Bell Drummond scored a massive 133 runs and says he's enjoying the competition.
I'm in a decent place at the minute, and no, I'm glad I can contribute to the team I've played with all my career, all my life pretty much, from a kid. So, no, long may it continue and try and win games in the process.
Your second 104 games in this comp as well. So, I mean, not only in good form, but you must enjoy it because you've got to get a move on, but you actually have time, don't you, to build an innings in this competition?
Yeah, it's a format I actually grew up on, most people my age grew up on, so ironically suited to it a fair bit. Can defend at times and attack at times. I've enjoyed it normally. Previously, I've been at the 100, sometimes on the bench. I know Tawanda's going through that at the minute. So, just grateful to be playing cricket and loving playing for Kent.
And the win today, the results elsewhere, means it keeps you alive. You go into Tuesday knowing that you've still got a chance.
Yeah, I was hearing from some of the lads that I think Gloucester got a win and Warwickshire were winning last time I heard. So, it's all to play for on Tuesday at rugby. So, no, credit to the guys stuck in. We played the conditions well and we haven't been far away. We've got smashed in a couple games, but I think we've won all of our home games and got on the wrong side of a tricky pitch at lengths away. So we're not far off and we can try and make it 5 wins from 8 and then whatever happens elsewhere.
Their final group game is against Warwickshire tomorrow. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.